Welcome to Earth First Radio News, your source for information about the direct action environmental movement. Saving wild places, plants, and animals takes your help, so please have a pencil or pen and some recycled paper handy to jot down the contact information we try to include with every story. You really can make a difference, so write, call, or defend your local wilderness today. Now, here's the news. Appalachian residents blame logging for severe floods. Life along Stony Creek has never been so rough for Ray Bedgley. The creek jumped its banks last summer, tearing his living room from its foundation and carrying the tangled mess downstream. Another flood last month washed away the gravel mountain road that led to his ramshackle home. "I'm done with this place," said Bedgley, 62, who grew up swimming and fishing along the creek. "I just don't trust it anymore. This is not how it used to be." Like many people living in the mountains of Virginia's extreme southwest, Bedgley suspects logging above his home has created more and larger floods than ever before. With last year's floods still fresh on people's minds and this year's floods causing $55.5 million in damage, environmentalists, hunters, and residents want to stop a proposed timber harvest on 700 acres in the Jefferson National Forest, about 100 miles northeast of Knoxville, Tennessee. Local activists handed Representative Dick Boucher, a Democrat from Virginia, a petition with 5,000 signatures in November condemning the proposal. In response, Boucher, who represents southwestern Virginia, has asked the U.S. Forest Service to suspend the timber sale until a panel of forest professionals and environmentalists can examine the region's timber practices, including whether logging has contributed to the flooding by reducing the ground's ability to absorb rainwater. "The flooding calls everything into question," said Blaine Phillips of the Southern Environmental Law Center in Charlottesville, which represents the activists. Bill Damon, supervisor for the George Washington and Jefferson National Forests, said his agency has tried to be responsible to public concerns, cutting the proposed harvest in half from 1,413 acres. Damon said he has trouble understanding why there is such resistance to logging on just a few hundred acres in a forest of 1.76 million acres. Damon would not say if he believes logging contributes to flooding, deferring to Boucher's advisory committee, which started meeting in February. The panel, which includes local officials, activists, the U.S. Forest Service, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the Army Corps of Engineers, and lumber industry representatives, is expected to make its recommendations by summer. In September, however, the Forest Service concluded in a field study that July's floods on Stony Creek would have happened no matter what. "That was a big flood," said Kerry Kapiser, a Forest Service hydrologist. "Any management within the watershed would have made little difference." Similar complaints have been raised in other parts of Appalachia, with many people suggesting that the coal mining practice of cutting away mountaintops also has made floods more dangerous. Michael Gillen, a hydrologist from the National Weather Service in Blacksburg, said that flooding has increased all along the Appalachian Range, but he is not sure why. "The effects, however, are increasingly visible as more people move to rural areas," he said. "You've got more people living along these streams because they're so beautiful when they're not flooded," Gillen said, "and when you clear-cut property, you reduce its ability to absorb runoff." Anti-logging sentiment has percolated in Virginia's mountain communities for years. "You used to sit on your porch and the sounds of all the birds would drive you crazy," said Otis Ward, 65, a retired coal miner who lives next to a sparse patch of national forest near High Knob Mountain that was logged by timber companies 3 years ago. "The owls and everything else, they're all gone now." The Forest Service's timber cutting is meant to foster wildlife by, for example, opening terrain for certain species, Damon said. Rarely, in fact, does the Forest Service make money from timber harvests. As for Bedgley, who built his home out of an old Olive school bus, his front yard is still littered with junk and pink insulation, doorknobs, and rolls of chicken wire almost a year after the flood. "The floorboards of the bus are still caked with river mud. The best thing to do," Bedgley said, "is to fix the bus and drive it further from the creek. We had all this fixed up like a real home," he said, "but oh Lord, everything's just washed out." The story was written by Chris Kahn of the Associated Press. Well, that's the news for today. If you have information for Earth First Radio News, please send it to cruiseef at cruiseio.com. You can find archived shows at www.radioforall.net and santacruz.indymedia.org. I'm Uncle Dennis. Thank you for listening to Earth First Radio News. Don't come by,